It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 closet dwellers and closet busters. It's me, Rick Clemens, the coming out coach, that guy that helps you simplify your life to make those big, bold moves. And today we're going to kind of talk about some dancing and finding your way into your true calling. We're going to go to some places about nutrition and women's work and really being kind of that mommy you want to be. And some of you are probably scratching your heads going, well, what the hell does this have to do with coming out and all that stuff? Well, the beauty of this is everybody has different coming out journeys. And my guest today, she went from being a theater dork and film student to working in a nonprofit, doing some yoga stuff. And I have to tell you, the way I met her was I was at the Happiness Summit in Miami a couple of months ago. And first of all, she's really beautiful. And that kind of struck me, even though I'm a gay guy. I'm like, wow, she's just strikingly beautiful. And then she talked about this beautiful stuff she has called kombucha. And then there were samples given. And it was kind of like, okay, I'm hooked on wine. Well, now I'm hooked on her kombucha. And her story was just awesome, how she came out to be who she is and what she's doing now in the world to be her own version of herself. Her name is Susan Dupre, and I just can't wait to share her with you. She radiates Miami, and that happens to be the name of her company as well. So let's get right to it. Welcome to the Coming Out Lounge, Susan. I'm so excited to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Rick. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff I kind of alluded to in that introduction about all the different things you've been doing. Why don't we kind of take some steps back to, you know, you were kind of this theater film person. And then
yeah, big time.
Things started to change. Kind of walk us through, you know, from wherever you want to start to where you got to now. And of course, we're going to talk about the kombucha and all the beautiful women's work and nutrition stuff you're doing. But why don't you just give us kind of that little bit of journey where you came?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, kid in the world of theater and dance, you know, pursuing full-time undergraduate, you know, doing professional theater since I was a kid and commercials, then doing undergraduate studies in musical theater and acting, and then moving out to LA, living in New York, and really just kind of pounding the pavement. My dream was to be in the theater. And then I booked a television show on CBS, actually. And so they moved me out to LA. And I was just thrown into this world of film. And I blinked my eyes and I found myself as a commercial actress. And I kind of definitely had one of those moments where I was like, I'm selling chemical toothpaste? Like, I was doing politically active theater. Like, I'm a social activist. What am I doing?
Right.
You know, it's just, I kind of blinked my eyes and you find yourself working towards that goal. And that goal, you know, if you're not paying really close attention, it can change really quickly. And so I guess that was maybe my first, if you want to call it, coming out moment where I realized I was living this really inauthentic life to myself. Moved out to LA and got really immersed in yoga and spirituality and nutrition. And I was doing that all day and waking up at 5 a.m. and doing my practice. But then at night, you know, bartending in a gay club in West Hollywood till 5 in the morning and doing Colgate commercials. And I was just living this really, you know, this just contradictory life around alcohol and drugs and simultaneously, you know, in commercial, mainstream commercial products and simultaneously trying to cultivate spirituality and authenticity in myself. And
right.
Yeah, so maybe that was the first moment that it was really, I had to get real with myself.
Well, and I love what you just brought up because it is that moment you get real with yourself. It's like, wait, something's, I'm not in alignment and I'm not being authentic. And yes, we got to pay the bills. We got to do that sort of stuff.
For sure.
So many people who find themselves up against these walls, these proverbial closet walls, it's like suddenly you realize, wait, my values are this,
right?
But I'm acting like this,
right?
And I'm miserable.
Right.
And suddenly, and it sounds like what happened for you is like, wait, for this to all really align with who I am, these two things got to come into alignment somehow, some way.
Well, you know, more than anything else, I was chasing a goal that I didn't care about anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's the whole being in the closet part right there for me.
Yeah.
I didn't care about being an actor anymore, but I was attached to this thing because I had spent so much time and money and years and, you know, pounding the pavement, so to speak, for so many years that it felt like I couldn't release that. I couldn't let go of that. It felt like I was giving up on something.
Well, but I think that is the closet story. You know, right. if we decide to say, I don't want to be in commercial acting, or I don't want to be in corporate America, or I don't want to be in this marriage, or I don't want to say I'm a heterosexual because I really know I'm a homosexual.
Right.
We're afraid of, oh my God, I'm letting go of this. This is what the goal was supposed to be. This is how we were supposed to show
the
up.
The image, right? Yeah, like it's a lot about the image.
Yeah. And what people are going to think of us. Mm-hmm. You know? So that pivotal moment happened. And then where did you go from there?
I packed up and went back to school. And I did it under the, I would love to say that I was very clear and I, you know, stood my ground and I did it really authentically, but I didn't. You know, I think I kind of went out the back door and said that, no, I want to go back to the theater. And so I'm moving back to New York to go back to the theater. And just my heart wasn't in it. I literally went to one audition and like, I think they laughed me out the door. I was a joke. I wasn't committed. I didn't care. You know, and I just went back to school for nutrition and for coaching and counseling.
That's awesome. And so in that moment, what was the thing to nutrition? What was that draw? There had to have been something that was going on, I would assume, personally for you, that you're like, this is where I really want to be.
Yeah, there was a lot of things. I mean, I became really interested in food as a child. I grew up in two really strong cultures from both of my parents and grew up, you know, eating very ethnically from both of those sides. And became a vegetarian. And I think my parents really didn't know what to do with that. They had all the best intentions, but you know, it was the 90s.
Yeah.
So there was pasta and beans from a can and a lot of bread, you know, and,
right.
And so I was never super healthy to be in that world of acting, you know, and especially in a place like LA, I did what any normal actor would do. And I starved myself. Right. And I wasn't healthy. You know, I just wasn't healthy. But then I started studying yoga and that's where the real contradiction came in. I didn't understand how to do both. And I wanted to get a grip on it. So yeah, I went to school for a sort of a Western approach, an allopathic approach to nutrition. Mm-hmm. And after that, I guess would be like the next coming out moment where I realized that wasn't what I believed in either, because calories in don't equal calories out. Not all calories are created equal, right? There's got to be more to it than that. And all of these holistic studies that I was doing and looking at the whole lifestyle and Ayurveda and macrobiotics and all of these different approaches to living, the science of living, I guess you would say.
Sure.
And wanting to incorporate all of that. So that was that next moment where I thought, oh my God, I did it again. I went back to school for something that I don't even believe in again. But I'm really glad I have that foundation knowledge because I draw from that now and I incorporate that into the holistic practice.
But you know, here's what's interesting is, and gosh, you're just like, just teeing this up. So beautifully. And her and Susan and I haven't ever had really a chance to talk than the few minutes we talked at the Happiness Summit where we met. Mm-hmm. But it is those moments where you go, okay, well, I did that. Now I got, okay, let's go do this again. Let's go figure this out. But without having those moments to go explore, to go figure out what's in that closet that we're in and go, wait, that's not what I want either, is how we figure this all out. In fact, I was just working with one of my coaches who's working with my brand and stuff. And we really hit on something really beautiful that, you know, people who are in the closet, like, okay, well, how do I get out of this? Well, the first step is you turn the light on so you can see. You can see what it is. And I've always had this just kind of inner knowing that for many people, it doesn't matter what the closet, but the whole metaphor of coming out of the closet, you already have everything you need to come out of that closet. What you don't get is you kind of look at it through a black and white lens. I can either do this or I can do this. But in the metaphor of the closet, when you think about your own closets, is everything in your closet black and white? No. Mm-mm. There are these beautiful colors and coordinations and different styles of clothing that help you step out. So you really do in the closet have everything you need to go step out to be who you want to be. And that's what I think people miss so often. And that's what you just were really sharing is, you kind of had to go back in that closet again to go, well, let's go draw from this and now let's pull that out. And so what have you at this stage landed on? Because I know there's still beautiful stuff you're doing.
Yeah. And I think too, just to your point, to add to that too, is just that I think it's okay that there's a lot of stumbling out of the closet, right? Like, I don't think that it's always this gorgeous theatrical decision that we make and we flip the switch and all of a sudden we can see and we just, you know, take a big sip of bravery and do it. I think that sometimes it's messy and ugly and there are things that are taken down from it, whether it be relationships or images of ourselves or ideals of how we thought we would be living. It's messy. And
it is messy. And accepting the mess is part of it.
Right.
You know, if it was I was talking to my branding coach about this and she was really digging around going, okay, well, this and this and this. I said, well, you know, here's the bottom line. I could make millions of dollars if I could write the book on how to come out of the closet. But there is no the book because everybody's coming out. It's going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. Somebody listening to you might go, well, wow, she was an actress and da, da, da. You know, and it's like, yes, but that wasn't what you were destined to be. And you're still not even destined to be. We're always being. We're continuing to being, not just be. And that's why I think it's really hard when somebody asks me, so how do I do this coming out thing? And it's like, well, you're going to do it exactly the way you're meant to do it, which is your way.
Beautiful.
Period. And I think that's what you've demonstrated too, is you've found a way to start to bring those things that are important to you into your life, holistic living, doing women, being a mom, being a leader in a community, taking some risks as a business owner. And I have to tell you, little secret about Susan and I, we've been trying to get this thing done for a few months here. And the last time we did it, I got to share it. The last time that this happened, she had a big thing come up in her business. And it's like, she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, girl, go take care of the business. I mean, it was kind of like flames and stuff were going on here. Go take care of your burning business. Literally, this podcast isn't going to die because you didn't decide to save your business. But these are those moments where it's like, go do the stuff you need to do, because that's what we're meant to be doing here, is this stuff we're meant to be doing. So talk to me a little bit about now the business, because, I'm going to let everybody in on the thing. You know, I talked a little bit about the beautiful samples of Kamuka that she had, but that's not all this is about. There's so much more that you've now started to do in building this beautiful business. So
the kombucha is a big part of it. It's fun. But, you know, my full-time gig is that I have a private practice as a nutritionist and a holistic health coach. And it reminded me so much when you were talking about how there's no one way to come out of the closet. And it's the same thing. People ask me, I don't know, 10 times a day, well, what should I eat for this? Or how do I eat to be healthy? And it's the same thing. There's not one way. But when we really stop and break things down and turn on the lights, as you said, so to speak, and really sit in that being, as you said, we can start to look at exactly what's going on with the individual, whether it's an autoimmune dysfunction or, you know, a different, whatever the diagnosis is that I may be working with, or just wanting to have more vitality and energy or lose weight or whatever it may be, but really looking at the whole perspective, the entire life of the individual. So that's my full-time gig. That's what I'm doing during the week. Well, some days of the week.
Yes. Right? Hello. High five to us coaches who are like, I do that a couple of days of the week. Right. And then we do these other stuff.
Yeah. 3 days a week in the mornings, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
And then, you know, in this past December, I opened up a little holistic apothecary in Wynwood, which is the Arts District neighborhood in Miami.
Yep.
And it's called Radiate Miami. I have a whole food community that I run. So I source food local from farmers who are all working in permaculture and working towards holistic farming methods. So I work really closely with the farmers and I do a lot of education about localizing our food system, eating locally, eating seasonally. And then I take those foods that I get from the farms and I ferment them. So I add live culture and turn them into superfoods. And then people that are part of the food community pick up their weekly box of those foods that have been locally sourced and then sort of turned into superfoods. So there's that aspect of the apothecary. And then I have a whole line of food-based beauty care products, all of which have live culture or promote the growth of the microbiome. And then I have the kombucha on draft as well as the kombucha wholesale business.
Right.
And then the last piece is that I have the holistic health coach education sort of program. So a few times a year, I do certification programs for people who are yoga teachers or coaches or nurses, or I've even had several doctors go through the program, people who are looking to integrate holistic nutrition into their repertoire or even just into their living experience, who don't want to work as a coach, but just get a better grasp on their own personal nutrition for their families or friends or what have you. So a few times a year, I do this 200-hour certification as a holistic health coach program as well.
You really don't have much going on, right?
Yeah.
But you know, it's so powerful to hear these stories because this is like where the coming out journey really starts to quote unquote culminate. I don't think it ever culminates, but you went from all these other places to finally coming out. And as a coach myself, you know, I'm listening to Susan talk and I'm looking at her a little bit because we can see each other on the screen, but I'm like, as she started talking about that, I'm like, okay, so I'm just going to pretend she's a client right now and listen to the tone of her voice, listen to the speed of her voice as she's starting to talk about what she's doing now and how much energy there is behind it, how much there's joy. And it's so interesting. So those of you who are listening, here's what I'd like you to do. Rewind about 30 seconds, a minute, 2 minutes back, listen to her voice with your eyes closed, and then listen to what happens when she starts talking about this. It's this beautiful energy that shows up when we are truly in alignment with what we're meant to be doing.
Oh, that's so nice.
Well, I think it's true, though. I mean, I'm sure you hear it in your clients. I don't know if you just work via phone or face-to-face, but you can always hear this when a client's like, okay, so you want me to do this or you want me to do that? And you don't even have to be looking at them to know if you're saying, well, maybe if you tried this in your nutrition plan or you incorporated these foods, you can tell if somebody's really buying into it or if they're on the fence absolutely. Or they're not. Now, just because they decide they don't want to buy into it may not mean, okay, well, then we're not going to try that approach. It may mean, okay, let's come a different approach to helping them work that into their life. So I'm curious because coming out is such a, in general, it's a very stressful situation, especially in the, you know, sexual orientation coming out place. But even as I've been working with entrepreneurs and other people who are making radical, bold, life-changing decisions, it's suddenly like it can have the opportunity to put stress in your life and fear, or it can have the opportunity to bring excitement and all that stuff into their lives. I personally believe, you know, I'm holding up my hand here, folks, even though you can't see it, that your nutrition and your physical well-being is a pivotal piece of getting through these moments in life. And I'm wondering if that's what you've also discovered too, Susan, is how pivotal taking care of your animal and being in your best physical form can help you in these really, really tough moments.
You know, I think it's a lot about strength and endurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one sort of last piece that will demonstrate this really well. And I think it was my most recent moment of coming out, if you will. Because I've been in Miami 5 years, but I've really only been actively sort of in the community, in the limelight, working for about three. Okay. And people tell me all the time, where did you come from? Where have you been? Like, you've been, what? You've been here? You've been in this community? And I was in a really unhealthy relationship, emotionally abusive and just very, very unhealthy in a lot of ways. And that coming out of that, which, like I said before, sometimes it's forced upon us.
Yep.
I didn't even know I was in it, but it was forced upon me and the end of it. And as I came out of it, I lost all of my physical strength, all of my endurance. I couldn't eat. I was so sick to my stomach over it. And I had a really wise, one of my yoga teachers actually in India, she said, you know, she made me start taking like protein and, you know, all of these foods that I never would have eaten nor considered health foods, really grounding foods. And I noticed, you know, what I taught, but living in my own life, that in order to get my strength emotionally back, to really come through that experience, I had to get my physical strength back because I became sick and physically ill as well. You know, I think emotional heartbreak can do a lot to us, right?
Yep,
but it can make us physically ill. But my body became very, very weak. I was very underweight and I was very, which for me is not an easy thing. I think I have a nice, you know, strong body, but I was at that time very underweight from not eating and very sick. And the way that I got the emotional strength to get through that, to come out of that experience, was really through nourishing my body through foods. Mm-hmm. And that's happened several times throughout my life in different ways, using food as a healing method. But that time, it's the most vivid because maybe it's the most recent, but I think it was the grandest of all the coming outs in my life, mm-hmm. where I had realized that for so long I was living in the shadows and not living my brightest self and not being my true self. I was really deferring to someone else's vision, to someone else's dream, and not living my authentic self as I always had seen myself before.
Yeah.
And through the nourishing foods and grounding foods and getting my body strong, you know, time and time again, I've seen it's just that, you know, it's that to your point, it's just to show that when we are physically strong, we can have the emotional strength to mm-hmm. get through what we need to. And when we're not nourishing our body and when we're not in that state of health, it's hard to be clear.
It is very hard to be clear.
It's hard to move with intuition. Mm-hmm. It becomes so muddied, and it might still be muddied, mm-hmm. but at least we're grounded.
Yeah. And I think that is the grounding, you know, Elizabeth Gilbert. And I don't even remember if it was when I was at the Oprah Weekend or one of her books or one of her interviews. I think it was her Oprah interview where she talks about feeding my animal. Mm. And it is so important. Now, I have a degree in nutrition as well. And so that's my background. And you would think somebody who kind of knows all the stuff, which I hated my degree. So that's why I do nothing with it at this point. It has served me very well because it led me to the hospitality industry, that led me to culinary school, all this other stuff. So I have this beautiful appreciation for food. I appreciate eating lots of food. So that's my thing. But I also appreciate eating really good food as well. But this is where Susan, if she could reach through the screen, she would reach through the screen and probably strangle me with what I'm about to say. When I was coming out of the closet, right after I came out to my wife and immediately got separated and I was living in a room in some friend's house, I survived on top ramen and wine. That was my diet. I ate top ramen 2 to 3 times a day and drank a bottle of wine almost, not quite every day, but close enough to say that. For almost a year, I joined my first gym. I never belonged to a gym. Started exercising like a crazy man. Mm-hmm. Became a spin instructor and then started cycling. Then I got laid off from my job. All simultaneously, all I'm surviving on, except when my kids were around, I would eat a little bit of whatever I made them for food, but literally was surviving on top ramen and wine. I dropped 150 pounds and I did not look good. In fact, I looked very sick.
Yeah.
What I remember most from those times, other than I'm glad that I went through that because that, you know, was where I learned to love cycling. That's where I learned to mm-hmm. love teaching spin. But the thing I learned most from that is if I thought I wasn't thinking clear when all this was starting to happen, I sure the hell wasn't thinking clear when it was happening because I wasn't feeding my animal. I was feeding it the wrong stuff. Now, I'm totally for wine. I love my wine. I realize how much that kind of living was part of why I couldn't think clearly and why I did some kind of stupid things during that time frame about being a dad and being a supportive, you know, ex-husband as we're going through the divorce and everything. And now I know that anytime like I'm under big stress, the first thing I do is go, okay, when you know you're going to be in this stress, pay really close attention to what I'm putting into my body. That's why I really not like crazy watch it, but I'm really careful. You know, I look at, okay, well, how much do I drink? You know, I literally at this point try to only drink on the weekends. That doesn't mean I didn't drink like 4 bottles of wine over a weekend, but I really look at that. And I look at the kind of food. Am I putting stuff that's whole foods? Do I put stuff that has lots of sugars? Mostly I don't do any sugars and stuff. So this is why I'm sharing this is because what Susan brought up is just, it's pivotal in those moments of crisis. Mm-hmm. We all heard about emotional eating. And I think emotional eating can be a good, and I think it can be a bad.
Absolutely.
Emotional eating can be a really good thing. Mm-hmm. You're consuming the right stuff. It is a pathway to helping you work through those emotions. In fact, the right foods can actually help you process those moments much better than the wrong foods. So
absolutely. And two, you know, something struck me when you were talking, and I think it's an important point to bring up, is that from a holistic perspective, right, food is so much more than what we put in our mouth.
Yes.
But it's our experiences and our relationships. And I think maybe you in that moment, and certainly myself and some other people listening might relate to times in our life where maybe we're not nourishing our body with the best choices. Yeah. Maybe not exactly. Top ramen. No, yeah. Maybe not ramen and wine, but maybe not the best choices, right? But when we do finally step into our authentic self, mm-hmm. I think a lot of times things like extra weight or chronic health issues seem to dissipate mm-hmm. when we start living in that place of truth.
Yes. Yep. So I can see it right now in myself. Yeah. So right before Happiness Summit, I had done my month of Whole30 that I'd never done the Whole30 program before. Loved it. Took out all sugars, right. All alcohol, all that sort of stuff. Of course, then I get to Miami and it only been a few weeks after that. And I noticed it. It's like, man, I go to some of the social stuff afterwards and it's like, okay, a couple of glasses of wine and I'm toast, you know? Mm-hmm. But I also noticed that as soon as I started reintegrating some of that stuff into my system, everything that I was enjoying about having been on that program started going away. I didn't start, I just quit sleeping through the night like I was. Mm. I was waking up with some weird little headaches again. And so it helps you really see when you take care of yourself in this way, it's also part of the coming out journey. It's like, it's not just about the moment. It's about what are you surrounding yourself holistically to mm-hmm. truly support you to help you get through those moments in life.
Right. I recall being in Italy and eating pasta and pastries and drinking wine every day and coming back thinner and saying, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. But it's mm-hmm. because I was doing it with a sense of ease and yes. not overdoing it and, mm-hmm. And just living that beautiful lifestyle.
Well, and the thing I think is I spend a ton of time in Europe working is I think the Europeans kind of got it going on. You walk everywhere you go. You mm-hmm. use a lot of, public transportation. There's mm-hmm. and just the lifestyle is so different. You get up later, you stay up later, you enjoy life. And I'm not saying that we Americans don't, but there's something about some of the European countries and
different vibe.
Just a different vibe where life is to be enjoyed. And I think that's mm-hmm. something we all could use to learn. So the business is going well. You're creating beautiful things. And you have a lot of interest in doing a lot of work with women, right? That's kind Absolutely. Of where your focus is. And what, I don't think I even need to ask the question, what brought you to that? I think you shared a lot. But there's obviously some reason that that's really important to you. What is that reason?
I mean, there's so many. Mm-hmm. Becoming a mother... period, becoming a mother.
Right? I'm letting that kind of hang there because that's one of those moments where I'm like, she doesn't really need to say anything other than that. In it, it's like being a dad. It's like being out and being
that
a
rite
dad.
Of passage.
A huge rite of passage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then just, moving through that relationship in the way that I did and coming out of that really awful space and just feeling the support and the love of women around me and how it was just women who showed up. And I was always the kind of one who would roll my eyes at a woman's circle or women's gatherings. Like I never really, it was never my thing, mm-hmm. but the strength and the power of the sisterhood that showed up for me when I was in my deepest, darkest moments.
Yeah.
And I just realized the power of that. And, I grew up in church and I always thought it was really beautiful that the women sang together and the men sang together. And I learned this really, I kind of put all the pieces together as an adult in this later part, in this part of my life now of realizing the value of mm-hmm. sitting in, whether it be traditional prayer or just in union with men and men and women and women mm-hmm. and the power that comes out of that. It's not to say there's not also a power from the unity of men and women together, but from women sitting with women and men sitting with men, there's just this power and the strength and the spiritual clarity, I think, and the spiritual power that can come from that, mm-hmm. that has moved me, humbled me to my knees time and time again that I've seen in these past few years of my life. And
I also think it's the power, and I'm right there with you, sister. So we're on the same page in this one. And I think the thing that I've noticed, because I've done a lot of the men's work and I've done a lot of women, I've done some interesting work where it is literally myself and two or three other guys facilitating all women's groups. Mm. And it's done specifically for that so that there's only a couple
masculine, quote unquote, masculine energies, you know, leading this. But what I find is when it's women with women and men with men, vulnerabilities show up much more easily. Mm-hmm. The facades get dropped much more easily. And people get really real with one another.
So true.
As soon as you mix, and I kind of observed this a little bit at the Happiness Summit, which was a whole different vibe in so many ways, that there was, again, predominance of feminine energy there. But what I watched was there was such a predominance of masculine energy from the guys that were very soft. And those guys were really willing to be in that space. And I also noticed as a facilitator, some of the women stepping up and being much more masculine energy oriented, being more themselves and more, I'm going to show this and I'm going to be the leader. And I think that's where the beauty of the two. If you don't have time to let each group kind of be with their own energies, I think that's where we'll always have conflicts is not letting guys be with guys, gals be with gals, and then realizing there's this beautiful place in the middle, the colorful spectrum where other beautiful things really happen.
Yeah, I really want to see more men's groups. If anyone's listening, I think more women's groups as well, but really, like, it's so important for homosexual, heterosexual, bisexual, whatever, sexual orientation having nothing to do with it. We need a space for men to feel that it's okay to be vulnerable so that can translate into our society. Starting with, you know, day-to-day small communities and going all the way up to our government. I mean, we need a space where men can be soft, vulnerable, intuitive, and connected. I think it's a big part of why we're in this disaster.
I agree 100%. And I think I may have shared this not long ago on another podcast, but just in case I didn't, I want to bring it forward. A couple of years ago, I had a beautiful opportunity to facilitate a men's retreat in Bermuda. And it was a mixed group. It was not just gay men. Everybody, when I say stuff like that, they're like, oh, okay, so he did a gay retreat. No, I've done those too. But this one was gay men and straight men. And I was one of the very first facilitators to speak in the group to start some of the process that we were going to go through for the weekend. And my very first thing that I challenged the guys with was to say, so we are truly a band of brothers for this weekend. And in order for us to be truly a band of brothers, I want to challenge each of you in your own way, myself included, to drop the labels of sexuality and see what happens and what you learn about yourself by the end of this weekend. If there is no heterosexual, homosexual, bisexual within our tribe of guys for this weekend.
So awesome.
What was so interesting is by noon the next, so that was first day. I mean, it was kind of one of the opening things. And then by noon the next day, it was amazing to see the camaraderie that was starting to happen. And the open conversations of, you know, guys who had probably never said, okay, so tell me about what life is like as a gay man. Actually listening to some of us that were like, okay, well, here it is. I'm a gay dad, you know, so let me tell you the challenges I have, you know. But then watching the flip side go around, because there was a couple of gay guys that are like, oh, straight men, they just drive me nuts, you know, other than most gay guys are like, well, straight men are really hot. But, you know, it's this interesting space that I started watching the dynamic spin, and suddenly those guys were having beautiful conversations and opening themselves up to going, I wish I'd understood heterosexual men more than before I got here, because now they were seeing the beautiful light and everything else.
And our kids need to see that.
Yes.
Our kids need to be exposed to that and see that. And the labels can be so important in learning acceptance.
Yep.
I'm all about supporting, you know, people who are identifying as queer or trans, or I think that in some moments those labels are very important because they almost force acceptance or identity. Yeah. But on the flip side, the moments where we can put those down and just be humans together in those safe spaces, healing, it's, you know, it's times 10.
Yeah, no, it is. It's the multiplier of humanity when you can let that sort of stuff start to drop and just be who you are. So, those of you who are listening now, do you kind of get why I brought this gal on? Because, you know, it's kind of interesting. You meet somebody, and this was such a, you know, it was just such a fluke, you know, that given these opportunities. And I think that's one of the things I love the most of getting to do a podcast is
you kind of meet people and you go, how would I, that's how I want to do this. I want to bring this person because I know we can have a beautiful conversation and we can connect the dots that we may come from two different, very different places, but we kind of get what these connecting points are really about. We all have these interesting different closets we're coming out of, but we're all very much connected in the closets as much as we are connected outside of those closets.
Mm-hmm.
So as we wrap things up here, Susan, and not that I want to quit talking because I could talk to you all afternoon and we'd have a great time. And now I kind of regret that we didn't get to go have a glass of wine together while we're
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, this has been really good. Although I have to say I did go past where your shop was. I went over there that evening because there's all sorts of arts and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I think that's, and we were with a group of people and I'm like, I think that's her shop. And then once you and I started talking, I'm like, yeah, I went past there and I'm like, sorry, I didn't get to step in there.
Me too.
As we wind everything up here, one of the questions, as my listeners know, that I always ask a guest to kind of give kind of their final, like, okay, you know, what would you like to leave with listeners is, you know, if somebody's struggling to kind of step out, be who they are, come out of their closet, go do that thing they want to do, what would be just like a lovely piece of advice you'd love to leave the listeners with today?
You know, the thing that stopped me for so many years, my piece that I have to figure out, my great struggle in my life is being okay with being imperfect. And I think that when we look at coming out, whatever the closet is, we want it to look a particular way. And just being okay with that mess and taking time to sit in discomfort. You know, I'm a huge fan of Krista Tippett's On Being, and she does a lot of different interviews where this comes up over and over again, but sitting in the discomfort, sitting in the pain, sitting in the loneliness and the solitude and the quietude, and feeling the dark, I think that's where the light comes from. I think that's where the strength comes from and the clarity. So being okay with the mess and the imperfection. And I say that also, I can't leave out that having a good support around that. I think that sitting in the loneliness and the dark and the messy is really important, but that has to be coupled with when we need it, support. So having a good network around you, but getting that in place and then leaving it and sitting in the discomfort and the pain. And just one thing I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is that as dark as the dark gets, it's always matched with that amount of light. And so for anyone who's listening, who's in that moment of fear and darkness and discomfort and pain, I just want to say that I promise it will be matched with light. And it's a faith. I guess it's a faith.
It is a faith. It's a faith and a trust in something beyond what we can comprehend. That's what it is. And, you know, Gabby Bernstein's book, The Universe Has Got Your Back, kind of the title alone says it.
Yeah.
Whether you believe in God or the universe or whatever it is, it's those moments that when we finally allow ourselves to truly be in that space of trust and faith.
But you got to feel the pain.
You got to feel it.
That's what I learned.
Exactly. You can't skip that part. You know, so many, and this is, it's almost like you were listening to my conversation with my coach. We were literally going all through this and we're like, so yeah, they want black and white. They want the how to get there. And I'm like, but the thing is they don't get that. The how isn't what it's about. Yes, you need to know what the outcome is, but it's between the black and white, where the gray, where you got to go play in the gray, which really the gray is the beautiful colors of possibilities, but you got to be in that yucky, messy stuff before you can even see the colors of possibilities, because that's where you find the truth. If it was so easy to go from here to here, then we'd all be going from here to here. It's that simple. But you can't even get on a plane and go from here to here and it's smooth sailing. You can't get in a car and go from, well, Miami or LA, doesn't matter where you're going, go across the city and go, oh yeah, I got there in 20 minutes. No, you can't do that, because it's going to be bumpy roads, bumpy rides, whatever it's going to be. And when you can settle in, I love this, settling into the imperfect and being okay with it and sitting in the discomfort is so true, that that's where you begin to discover your truth and you live really how you're supposed to be living, which is your life uncloseted. That's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. Well, Susan, we actually did it. We made it. And it was beautiful.
I didn't doubt we would.
Oh, I didn't either. I never doubt. You know what? You know, this is, I literally was living, you know, going, hey, you know, when Susan and I are going to connect, we're going to connect. I never sweated out about a guest ever.
Thank you for that, Faith, because I was sweating it.
Oh, no, I never do. I mean, trust me, I've sweated some other big name people going, I'm never going to get that interview with, you know, these people. And then it happens. And then, of course, then I'm sweating a whole different sweat, like, shit, now I'm actually talking to this person. How will that go? You're just as beautiful here as you are in person. And I'm so glad that we've had the cameras on so we can see each other. Thank you. And thank you for being you and doing what you do on the planet. You warmed my heart today by sharing yourself with my audience. So.
Thank you. So, likewise. And, you know, if I could be of support in any way, that's my ultimate goal. So I hope
you,
that
you gave so many beautiful ways. And someone somewhere is going to be listening to that today and have heard it and see, oh yeah, what she said, that resonates with me. And that's why I bring so many different people into the Coming Out Lounge. And I can guarantee you, Susan will be back when we launch Life Uncloseted. She'll be back for a whole different conversation, or maybe a very similar conversation.
But, we just scratched the surface.
Yeah, we just did. We're like, and you know, I'm almost like, okay, let's see, how many miles do I have? I think I need a trip back to Miami to spend some time. So anyway, thank you so much. I so appreciate you being here.
Thank you for what you do. Oh, you know, it's such important work, and I can't imagine all the lives you've changed and supported just by being the voice that you are. So thank you for doing that and for being that voice and holding that space. And thank you for seeing some truth in me. I appreciate it. That means more than
I don't have words for it either. But when you knew, I'm like, you know, I feel a connection here and I want to do this. And that's one thing, you know, there's so many things you could take away from this conversation today. But that when you feel those connection points and you feel like, you know, I need to do this, there's your go button. If you remember that, people, that's your go button. Trust your instinct. Susan's trusted hers. That's how she's gotten where she's gotten, building the businesses, doing the things she's doing in the world. It's about trusting that inner instinct and having the faith and trust to go, this is where I'm going. This is where I'm going. So thank you again. And gosh, I can't wait till we get another chance to talk again.
Likewise, thank you to you, and thank you everyone who listened, and thank you. That's it, just gratitude.
So that's what we call in the podcast world a wrap, the end, finito, whatever you want to call it. That's the end of another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach, that guy that hopefully is helping you simplify your life so you can make some big, bold moves. And if you've been wanting to do just that, might I suggest that you hop over to the comingoutlounge.com website. On the homepage or on the episode pages, you're going to see a little icon that says schedule a discovery session. And I would love to have a chat with you. If you're kind of in that space of trying to figure out what's next, how you're going to do this, let's have a chat. You and me, we'll sit down for 30 minutes. We'll do it over the phone, via Zoom, via Skype, whatever works. And we'll have a chat about where you are in your journey. It's totally free, no obligation, but I'd love to just help you in any way that I can. It's kind of my give back to my listeners of the Coming Out Lounge. And as usual, I just want to say I love you. I appreciate you. I'm so glad that you're subscribers. And keep sharing this podcast. The more we share this, the better the world will be, and the less homophobia and bigotry that will exist out there in the world with each step that we make. Finally, never, ever forget that if you want to give us a suggestion for a show or a guest or have a comment or have a question, call us at 949-371-8559. Again, 949-371-8559, and we'll listen to what you got to say. And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Have a great week, everyone. Take care.